The Christmas story is perhaps the greatest story of all time. But it doesn't begin like stories are supposed to begin, once upon a time in a land far, far away. Because it begins at a very specific time and in a very specific place and under some very specific historical circumstances. And it came to pass that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Just who was this Caesar Augustus? Well, Caesar Augustus was the first emperor of the Roman Empire. Caesar Augustus was personally responsible for the deaths of 300 Roman senators. Caesar Augustus did away with the Roman Republic, which was ruled by the Senate, and personally assumed the reins of power. Caesar Augustus was married to Cleopatra, the most glamorous woman of her day. And Caesar Augustus was the emperor under whom the empire began to expand its boundaries, eventually reaching as far north as Britain and as far south as North Africa, as far east as the Arabian Peninsula, and as far west as Spain. So you can tell that Caesar Augustus was a man of great wealth and prestige, the most powerful man of his day, and a major actor upon the stage of history. And when Caesar spoke, people move. When Caesar gave orders, people's lives were disrupted, even put a kilter, out of kilter. But what could anybody do? Well, it so happened that two of the people whose lives were disrupted by Caesar Augustus's order were a young Jewish man by the name of Joseph and a young Jewish woman by the name of Mary. Joseph was a carpenter, and Mary was espoused to be his wife. And when the time and at the time that the order came to the tiny mountain of village of Nazareth that all the world was to be counted in a census, Mary was perhaps 9 months pregnant. And they had no choice but to pack up and journey to the place where it was designated for them to be counted. We don't know what happened next. We have to use our imaginations. But what I imagine is this, that Joseph looked at his wife, 9 months pregnant, looked at the fact that they would have to travel so far, and sought out a local Roman official and pled with him, "Sir, this journey will be difficult for my wife. Can't some other arrangement be made for her to be counted? Can't an exception be made in our case?" And maybe the official was kindly and sympathetic and said, "Joseph, I'm sorry. I wish I could help, but orders are orders and there's nothing I can do for you." Or maybe he was more the uncaring, paper-pushing bureaucrat. "Why are you bothering me with your problems? Can't you see that I'm busy?" But whatever, the story tells us that Mary and Joseph found themselves on the way to a village 70 miles to the south called Bethlehem. Because Joseph was a descendant of King David, and Bethlehem was the city of David. So they found themselves on this narrow, winding path through the mountains. And the Christmas cards show us the pictures of Mary riding on that donkey and Joseph walking supportively alongside. You know, I know what it's like to ride a donkey through the mountains. I once took a 4-hour donkey ride through a Yosemite National Park, and I can assure you that 4 hours on a donkey will suffice me for a lifetime. They are simply miserable creatures. But Mary, 9 months pregnant and maybe in labor, rode on a donkey 70 miles through the mountains. But God was with them, and they made it safely. No accidents had occurred. They got to Bethlehem, but then they had another problem. They had to find a place to stay, and Joseph started knocking on doors. But from every door came the same answer: "We're all full. There's no room in the inn." But again, God was with them. And they found a place warm and dry and out of the cold night air. It was no five-star hotel. It wasn't even a one-star hotel. It was a barn. And there in that barn, the momentous events of that night took place. There was no other human companionship, just the companionship of others of God's creatures. But there in that barn, in that stable, their first child was born. The most significant event in their lives to that point, and a very significant event in our lives as well, because this was the first Christmas. And we remember it warmly with wonderful traditions and beautiful Christmas carols. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. But the Bible doesn't let us sentimentalize it too much, because the first Christmas, as we have heard, was set in the context of the decrees of mighty men and the stresses of everyday life. And so are our Christmases today. Just because we're celebrating the holiday does not mean that the problems of the world and the stresses of our lives will go away. Sometimes celebrating holidays only intensifies the amount of stress and anxiety we live with. Holidays can make life more difficult. Holidays can be very hard for families who have suffered the death of a loved one in the past year and will face for the first time that empty seat at the holiday table. Holidays can be very hard for partners whose relationship is in trouble. Holidays can be very hard for families who are out of work and don't have enough money to pay their bills, much less buy gifts for their children or their friends and loved ones. Holidays can be very hard for men and women who served in the armed forces and are stationed thousands of miles away from the warmth and safety of home and family. Holidays can be very hard for people living in places like Baghdad and Fallujah, their land in a shatters and violence swirling all around them. Holidays can be very hard for people who are alone and feeling lonely at Christmas. Life is a mixture of bitter and sweet, and Christmas partakes of both. The expectation of the child to be born by that couple, coupled with the anxiety of a dangerous trip through the mountains. The safe birth of their first son, who was born healthy, alongside the anxiety of finding a safe, warm place for their child to spend his first night on earth. Mary and Joseph lived with all of this. Their first Christmas was wonderful. The excitement and joy of their child being born, but it was also stressful because of the orders that had been given and what they had to go through to fulfill those orders. And what about the one who gave those orders? What about Caesar Augustus, far away, sitting on his throne in Rome, handing out orders, passing out decrees, oblivious to the havoc his slightest whim would cause in the lives of people he didn't even know? What about Caesar Augustus, ruthless, power-hungry, with imperial ambitions? What about Caesar Augustus, a man so powerful and important in the history of Western civilization that an entire month in the Roman calendar was named after him, the month of August? Well, the irony is that during the course of his reign, a child was born to a family so poor and unimportant and insignificant that Augustus would never hear about that birth. And that child would grow up to become a man, but that child, as a man, would never enjoy the tiniest fraction of the earthly wealth and power that Caesar Augustus took for granted. But in the irony of history and in the irony of God's ways, Augustus had a month named after him, but all of history is dated from the birth of that child. For unto us, said the angels to the shepherds, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And we wait with anticipation and expectation for the birth of that child.